The Football Pod with Paddy and Andy.
We lost that championship game against Donegal. We didn't lose a game for 7 years after that. I tell you, we were angry after that game. Dublin came back, I remember, in 2015. It was, we're putting this right.
Download the OTB Sports app and subscribe to the GAA podcast feed now.
I am delighted now to say that we're joined on the line by the Liverpool captain, Niamh Fahey. Good morning to you, Niamh.
Good morning.
Thanks, Niamh, for taking the call. We've just been chatting to Karen Duggan there about all things Irish football. And specifically, we just ended the chat with some conversation about the pay parity announcement that came in during the week. And she raised an interesting point about how what an amazing development it is. But what's next? What's your reaction to that?
Yeah, first of all, it's a huge step forward. You can't underestimate the value this puts on for the future generation about how they view themselves as female footballers. So it's an amazing step forward. Obviously, what's next? There's still work to be done at the ground at grassroots level with the Women's National League. So there's plenty of boxes to tick, but we can't underestimate what a momentous occasion this is for the future of women's football in Ireland.
Yeah, the danger is that because it was such a momentous thing and because it's been worked at for so long that everybody sits around clapping themselves on the back for the next while and not actually focus on the next staging post.
Of course, you get the plaudits and everyone basks in the amazing achievements that they've just done. But there is a steering group in the FAI that are working behind the scenes to work on the issues such as grassroots football, such as underage football. So those issues aren't going to go away and they need to be fixed and addressed. And that's what's being done behind the scenes.
What's the last few weeks been like at Liverpool? You've obviously had the pre-season done, maybe not the most ideal start of the season last weekend, but what's life like at Liverpool as we head into the new season?
Yeah, it's been a bad start, obviously one game, one loss, so we have to go away to Watford this weekend and rectify that, but it's very early days. We had a very up and down pre-season with COVID. It's not an excuse, but there's plenty more football to play, and we're bedding in and not a lot of new players with our new manager Matt Beard. So there's a lot of football ahead, and yeah, coming up with Watford on Saturday,
and some new competition at the back as well. I see, Niamh. There's how does that change the dynamic things for yourself? Like, I don't think, and I mean, you'll say that every position is up for grabs, but that you necessarily are in that category in terms of been under threat for your role in the team, and particularly given your captaincy in that. What's the new manager that you mentioned? Obviously, has brought in some new options and a new centre back.
Yeah, there's been a whole revamp of the squad. I think we've strengthened in every position, especially at the back. But for me, it's great. Everyone wants competition. It pushes the standards, and it just lifts the whole team. It's what you want. No one wants to get comfortable because automatically our human nature standards drop. The manager's had a good conversation with me. He values me. He values my experience. He values me as a player. So I just have to push hard in training and work for my spot like everybody else.
That must be hugely reassuring in that no matter who you are, no matter what position you are in the club, a new manager comes in, you don't know what ideas they've got or where you sit in their plans. I presume that conversation gave you a lot of reassurance and maybe a lot of confidence.
Exactly. There's no, just because you're captain, it doesn't mean you're going to start. So that just sets the standard for everybody in training. You know, they see that, and there's no cushy little place going to happen for the captain. So everyone's been really pushing so hard, and that's what you want. Again, it just lifts the standard, and it's going to drive us on this year.
It does seem that the WSL2 is this incredibly competitive place at the moment, where it's almost a rat race to get into the very top tier. Everybody's investing in their squad. The standards are constantly rising, and it has the potential to be this incredibly chaotic and brilliant for the neutral season over the next few months.
Definitely, especially this year. I think it's akin to the men's championship in terms of, you know, the brutality of it, in terms of who comes up, who comes down. There's one spot who can get promoted. So it's really going to be tight. And obviously the investment that's come in, it's really difficult. And any of the clubs that have been there for a couple of years, you know, the league like the back of their hand, know the tricks of the trade. So it's really a tough league. And we're going to find it difficult this year, as we've seen in the first game already. But it's going to be tight. Every game is up for grabs. So you just have to focus each game as it comes.
Is there much of a shift from the new manager in terms of style and the way you're going about your business? Is any indications on that early doors?
Yeah, Matt's someone who likes a lot of high energy. He doesn't mind if it's a bit of direct football. He doesn't want to pass a team off the pitch. So there's been a bit of a getting used to in that sense. But it's all good things, like fresh manager, fresh ideas, just about the players adapting to them and implementing them on the pitch.
Do you enjoy that? You mentioned the word brutal there in terms of the style of the league generally. Is that something that you enjoy?
Yeah, I like that. It's a physical battle that probably suits to my traits. I know a few of the forwards won't say the same because you know we've got a centre half stepping on their toes. So no, that suits me. It suits my game. So I enjoy it. I enjoy the battle every week. So I'm happy to be playing in that type of football.
You mentioned some of the changes in personnel. A lot of goals from different positions have left the club now from where you were last season. I know obviously new players have come in, you'd be hoping that filled the gap, but any concern about that I think particularly towards the second half of last season the goals tended to come from a lot of sources from players who've departed now. Any concerns about that ability to score now?
No, none at all. We've brought in Leanne Kernan from West Ham. We've got obviously Irish international, and then we've got Rhianna Dean from Tottenham. And these are really young, exciting players with plenty of goals in their locker. So he's gone for a different type of player as well. He's gone for a lot of pace, and then he's gone for a bit of more physicality. So it's just a matter of time before we click and start reproducing those results.
Yeah, and like Leanne Kernan at Liverpool lashing in goals is exactly what Vera Powell will need as well. How much chats have you been having with her, and how is she enjoying it there?
Yeah, exactly. What's good for the goose is good for the gander in terms of what Vera is looking at. So Leanne is really enjoying it. She's settling in really well. She likes the fact that she's not too far from home, so she can fly back to Cavan when she gets the opportunity. She's really settled in. She likes the club. And there's a good group of girls there who've really welcomed her in. She's a good character. She's easy to fit in anywhere, Leanne. So she'd talk the legs off you. So a lot of them are finding the accent a bit difficult, but no, they're getting used to her now.
There's a lot of chat about pig farming, is there?
Oh, yeah, exactly. You wouldn't believe the questions they have.
11 points back, I think, was if I'm right, back end, at the end of last season. It's a bit of a gap, obviously. You were third in the table, so not that far off it. But the ultimate objective, have you spoken about that as a squad, about trying to get away from the brutality as much as you say it suits your game, to get away from that and get in amongst the WSL?
Oh yeah, of course, that's the goal. But as we know from last season, it's extremely tight league, and you know last season we probably thought we'd bounce straight back up, and that's definitely not the case. So for us, the goal is to just be in and around the mix come Christmas, and then take it from there. You know, there's no setting the stall out about where we should be at a specific time. It's just being about in the mix and being competitive, and then hopefully it'll be good enough by the end of the year.
From being involved in the game for a while, like, how big is this season going to be, do you feel, for not just for your division, but obviously for the top tier, given the Sky deal, given like even just seeing the BBC unveil their pundits the other day for the season ahead? It's not something we've seen too often.
No, it's huge in terms of visibility for the game. Obviously, TV, Sky, the likes of BBC coming in is huge. You're hitting audiences you've never hit before. It just helps to grow the game massively. Then you get the sponsorship that comes in and the revenue that comes with that. So it's huge for the game, and it's going to push the women's game on even further. And it's just great to see, really.
Niamh, can I ask you just to slightly go back to the pay parity conversation? You're somebody who has a good profile in this country. You've nearly 100 caps for your country. You're captain of one of the biggest clubs on the planet. What we're post the 20 by 20 movement, the government obviously tried to, I guess, piggyback on some of that. Sport Ireland are doing some good work. We've obviously had this announcement in relation to the pay parity. I guess this is a topic you must think about a bit, but like, what's the next step for us as a country when it comes to moving on that conversation now and that movement with women's sport in Ireland?
It's a difficult question to say, you know, what's next, but there's lots to be done. It's not just about pay parity. There's a lot of infrastructure that needs work. There's grassroots level that needs a redevelopment and overhaul. There's so much neglect, shall we say, in women's sport that needs a lot of resources, needs a lot of time. So yeah, although this is a massive thing, we can't forget all the other stuff that needs to happen. And yeah, it's there's loads of things to what next, really. I'm not involved at that structure level, but I know there are people who are working mass, like Sport Ireland, who are doing great things for women in sport and women in leadership positions to grow women's sport in this country.
Is it important to tell the stories, do you think? Because, like, anecdotally, we've certainly heard stories from various inter-county teams where, like, facilities, you've sort of hinted at it there, around GAA, are not up to scratch, or in relation to football, where they're just not up to scratch. And sometimes people are less willing to talk about those stories because the movement itself has obviously moved on so much, and it feels as if you're nearly taking a backward step to talk about it. But is it important in some regards that we tell those stories and bring that kind of stuff to light?
Definitely. You have to highlight issues. I know people don't want to seem like you're keeping on bringing up the same narrative or complaining and things are negative, but if these things don't come to light, then they can't be fixed. Personally, with the GAA, I'd like to see the Ladies Gaelic Association amalgamate with the GAA. I think that would solve a lot of problems in terms of fixtures, use of pitches, and I think that step really needs to happen, but for different reasons it's not. I think that would really help with the Ladies Gaelic at the minute.
Yeah. Can I ask you as well, I'd seen that you were on the record 3 weeks ago, yourself and Jordan Henderson were out endorsing the taking of the knee and the rationale and the reasons behind it, and obviously it's back in the headlines again this morning after the England-Hungary game last night. What's your sense of, as a captain of an institution in British life, what's your sense of what needs to happen now, Niamh? It looks as though, in many instances, including last night, the taking of the knee is not as effective as everybody would hope. What needs to happen, or have you any thoughts on what can happen here to try and eradicate this stuff?
I know people have said it's not effective, but it's still happening, so clearly it's effective, and it's annoying certain sections of crowds when you go to away games. So it is important to keep doing it. It may not be effective in England because a lot of it is stamped out, but when you go to those countries, there is a high element of racism. It's hard. Where do you educate a whole country? You try and do it through sport. So banning people from stadiums is one immediate thing, and making sure that people feel the repercussions. But it's at a basic level that you demand standards and respect for each other. So this is an individual country's problem, I think, in terms of how they educate their citizens, really.
It's interesting, isn't it, the way, I guess, a lot of sports people have, I guess, become more aware of the social responsibility that they can have if they speak out about issues like this. Is that something you've become more aware of over the last couple of years, especially given your role as captain in the last year?
Definitely, sports people have a huge platform, and you've seen that with Naomi Osaka, you've seen that with Jordan Henderson, you've seen that with Marcus Rashford, the platform that these superstar sports people have to use their platform for voices of change. Sports crosses many boundaries, and race and religion and all these things are one of them. So when people see their stars or their idols speak out like this, it has such a powerful impact to implement change, and it can only do good, really, as we've seen.
Yeah, well, your voice is powerful too, and it's well put over the last few minutes. Niamh, thanks a million. Best of luck for the season. Hope things turn in the right direction for you starting tomorrow. Thanks a million for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
Cheers. Bye. That's Niamh Fahey, Liverpool captain, on the line there.